Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Souk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
It goes so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans NFL Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Fans NFL Challenge with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
Cut that meat.
The Fan.
All right, you can go look at the leaderboard and see where you stand and your chance to win a surround sound system from Encore Audio Video that is going to make your home theater just awesome. So go and check that out. If you're playing along, you already know where you stand. If you get a chance at winning it. You and I tied in the NFL Challenge on the overall rankings, but you guys do your own pick'ems here, where you take your number one NFL game.
Yeah, what we do is we do one lock of the week for each of us. And here are the records. These are against the spread, and let me warn you right now, they are not impressive. With the exception of producer Mike Lynch, now he leads the way. He is 8-5. Okay. Lost last week. Now you had...
I had the Chiefs, -6.5. Ooh, yeah. That's stupid game.
That's a big spread.
I am 4-8. I had the Eagles last week, and I mean... I don't know. They got to overtime. If that's just a field goal game, I cover, but it was ended up being a Dallas touchdown, so I lose.
Yeah, it's a ball that's batted away.
And then Souk is 4-9.
Ooh.
Not good.
I'm picking in his spot.
Now, here, let me... Now, I do not blame him for this. Before we get started,
sure.
May I?
Please.
I don't blame him for this. This is entirely my fault because I thought about it a ton, and I ultimately chose this team. But I was eliminated from my survivor pool last weekend.
Okay.
And it was painful because last weekend was such a topsy-turvy weekend in the NFL. I was down to the one of the final 14.
Okay.
There are now three people left.
Oh.
And we debated in this very time slot last Thursday, we debated three plays that I could have gone with. And for those that don't know, a survivor pool is you just have to pick a winner, but you cannot pick the same team twice. Your team wins, you advance to the next week. So here we are late in the season. I've used up most of the good teams. So here are my three options. I had Houston hosting Indy.
Okay.
I had Denver in San Francisco, and I had Tennessee hosting Jacksonville, which was Thursday night.
Yep.
We immediately eliminated the
Tennessee.
One team that won, which was Tennessee, because
and
we thought...
they housed them, too.
They housed them. It was that Thursday night play. Yep. It was like, well, road team on Thursday night's not a good bet. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's pissed after the week before. Maybe, but then it's like, no,
Jacksonville's playing for pride. And
well,
all
they shut out Andrew Luck last week.
Yep.
So I ended up going with Denver. And oh my God, I cannot tell you how pissed off I was watching that stupid team.
Now go back in your
blow it.
Go back in your memory banks, Rob, and remember.
God,
you looked at me and said, "Mike, you're a Broncos fan. What do you think about this?" And
I know,
dude, I'm nervous.
Dude, I didn't feel great about it, but I felt of those three picks, that was the safest one. We ultimately just settled on the fact that, look, if you're going to lose, go with the one that was the best bet. We thought that was the best bet. Now, it's just hindsight that it was Tennessee.
Of course.
But, oh, my God, just watching that Denver game, it was agonizing. And I'll hate the Broncos forever.
That seems fair. I think
that cost me $12,000.
I was just going to ask you, do you know how many people started in the Survivor pool?
It was like 475. The pot was about $12,000, and it's winner take all.
Yep.
So there's three guys left. And what I'm going to do for fun is I'm going to come up with one this week and see if I would have eventually won the thing. But, everybody got eliminated on Pittsburgh. They got eliminated.
Yep.
They got eliminated on Denver. They got eliminated on Houston. And a couple people had Buffalo. They lost to the Jets. It was a wild week.
How much tougher is it knowing that Tennessee won by that much going
Very
into Sunday,
tough.
Too?
Especially on Thursday.
That's a little,
it's like I could be free and clear.
Kicking the shorts.
F.
Ooh. All right, that's a tough
one. And by the way, the Broncos suck. Mike, can we talk about the Broncos sucking?
They very clearly suck, yes.
What is their deal?
Well, they don't know how to find quarterbacks. How did John Elway be the worst talent evaluator in the history of talent evaluators at the quarterback position?
Luke's basically right. Case Keenum sucks. The only talented players they have on their team are running backs because Emmanuel Sanders got hurt, so they were throwing to a bunch of rookie wide receivers, and all the Niners did was stack the box. They just stopped the run. The Broncos averaged like 3 yards a carry that game because they had nine guys in the box every play because Case Keenum had no one to throw to and can't throw the football. And Chris Harris was hurt too, which didn't help.
And he sucks at evaluating quarterbacks. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and the only right move he's ever made is bringing over Peyton Manning.
I think that I don't think he sucks at evaluating quarterbacks. I think he just doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to overpay for his
quarterback. He doesn't want anybody to take any of his franchise records. He's like, see, if we get a bad quarterback, I'm always the best. As long as he's general manager, he will always be the best quarterback in the history of that franchise. Somebody comes in and outshines him, then his ego gets hurt. Could that be it?
All right, Mike, what do you got?
My pick this week is a team that I have been shocked at how good they've played this year, and that is the Seattle Seahawks, who are one win away from clinching the playoff berth this year. If they win, they're in. If they lose, they have other ways they can get in.
They can tie and still get in.
Yeah. They are playing the Niners in Santa Clara and are 3.5-point favorites. To me, this seems ridiculous that it's this low of a spread against the Niners.
And did they beat them 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
20.
Yeah. Maybe it's people overreacting to the Niners beating the Broncos. I don't know why they would do that because we just talked about the Broncos suck. So I'm going to go ahead and say Seattle 3.5 is my lock of the week this week.
Okay. I'm just going to play straight off of a trend.
Sure.
Because, look, my picks are terrible. And so I'll just go off of this trend. It's an amazing number. And it is that when New England, when they are coming off a loss and they are a small favorite of 3 or less the next week, they are 20-0
against the spread.
Against the spread. They cover it every time. And this is interesting because this week they are on the road at Pittsburgh and they are a small favorite. The spread is 2.5. New England is favored in Pittsburgh. This exact same scenario happened last year, where New England lost at Miami in week 14 and then had to go on the road at Pittsburgh in week 15, and they won that game. I think it was 24-21. 2.5 is too low. I'm riding that number. 20-0. Never lost. I'll ride that until it bucks me off, so I'm going to go with New England minus 2.5.
And this game is for second place, too. So you're playing for home field advantage because no matter what happens tonight, somebody's not going to win that division, so the loser of the AFC West will be, even though they have a better record than everybody else, will be a wild card team. So you're playing one of those division winners has to take on the mantle of the bye week and all that. So very interesting pick. You got to trust the Patriots there. It's a very interesting elements to that pick, but I think you're right going with the Patriots. I'm picking for Souk, and I didn't know if I was picking for him to keep losing or to actual win. So I'm just gonna pick the team that I want to win the most this week, and that's the San Diego Superchargers, who actually play in Los Angeles now. So I'm going to take the LA Chargers, and there's two reasons that I want the Chargers to win the AFC. One is if they get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they play in a soccer stadium that holds 28,000 people.
It's true.
And they have no home fans. No one in Los Angeles cares about this team. And so to watch them host at least one and potentially two games in the AFC playoffs would be amazing. And the other thing is, if they win the Super Bowl, how bad would that parade be?
Yeah, it wouldn't be good.
It would be terrible.
All the Rams fans would be there.
No, they wouldn't even show
up. Switching out their jerseys.
Diego would protest it. They wouldn't drive up the road and go, hey, good for Phillip Rivers. It would be like the families of the players hanging out somewhere near Los Angeles. They'd probably just go to Carlsbad, split the difference between San Diego and L.A.
or
Orange County somewhere, and it'll be like the families of the players. It will be the lowest attended home game in the playoffs history, and it will be the lowest attended parade in the history. So I am fully on the Chargers. So Souk's pick then becomes the Chargers, who are 3.5-point dogs.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going road team Thursday night?
I'm going road That's team tough. Thursday night, the final Thursday night game. But listen, if Hunter Henry has a big game, I think it happens. Do you want to try to pick all of the other NFL challenge games?
I don't have to.
Okay.
I really don't.
Does anybody care? 55305.
No.
Is the Better You Today text line. Let us know if you want to hear all of our picks. Well, if we get
no.
an overwhelming response,
oh, yeah.
we'll
I'm
do
sure
it.
I'm sure they want to hear our
55305. Better
all,
You Today text line.
We're like 8 games under 500. They don't want to hear our picks, Luke.
Let us know if you want our picks, and we'll do that. If not, I've got a couple tidbits.
3 Mike games over 500.
Mike mentioned one of them, but there's a couple things that I found interesting from as a Thursday follow-up to the Monday Night Football game.
I love tidbits.
Let's do tidbits next. You're listening to Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We're only about 12 minutes away from In the News.
Yes.
At 5:30, we have Jason Quick. Talk to him about the Blazers.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there. But you know what else we need to get to either today or tomorrow, Lucas?
No, tell me.
And a lot of people are asking what Portland Diamond Project was doing at the winter meetings of Major League Baseball. And I have a little info on that.
Let's carve out some time and do that tomorrow. Today's show feels pretty full with Quick, and right now we've only got a little time before
we'll do that.
So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll carve out a big chunk. We'll take our Stephen A. Smith time from today.
Yes.
We'll dedicate to that the Portland Diamond Project, because I would love to get info on that, and I know I'll have plenty of follow-up questions if you've got insider information. So stay tuned tomorrow for Isaac and Luke when we do that garbage.
But here we have tidbits.
Tidbits. These are tidbits, and
by the way, nobody wants to hear our picks.
Yeah, oh no, there's one guy, and he put 3 exclamation points, and that means one of two things. Either he's sarcastic.
Actually, there are two.
Or he's an idiot. No, there's two guys.
Yeah.
But the one
Somebody
guy
else
put
chimed
3
in.
Exclamation points, and that's either sarcasm or he's an idiot. It's only one of those two.
You know who else I like? I like Indy hosting Dallas. I think that's a letdown game for Dallas.
Going on the road,
AFC. I think the Colts will get them.
Works for me.
There's a bonus pick for you.
Works for me. Here's your tidbits. So Monday night, Seahawks beat the Vikings, as I imagine many people listened to right here on The Fan, and got all of that information. The Vikings were terrible in that game. They had no offense to speak of. They fired their offensive coordinator. Mike mentioned it earlier. Now the Seahawks are in the driver's seat for one of those wild card spots. They still have no chance to win the division, but they can win this weekend and lock up a wild card spot in the playoffs. So they'll either be guaranteed the 5th or 6th seed. So that's kind of what you have.
Okay.
Here are your two tidbits from that game. As bad as Kirk Cousins was in that game, Kirk Cousins is right now still sitting in that 6th spot with his Vikings for the NFC playoff spot.
Yep.
That makes him only one of the top 6 highest paid quarterbacks in the driver's seat for a playoff spot right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. How good is that? So right now, your highest paid quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers. Looks like he's out. He's mathematically still eligible. Matt Ryan at 4-9. They're still eligible. They need everything. Everybody has to lose ahead of them, and they have to win out.
They have the worst record.
They're one game ahead of the Cardinals and the 49ers.
Cards. I forgot about
Cards and 49ers are both 3-10. But yeah, the 4-9 Atlanta Falcons. So Aaron Rodgers gets paid $33.5 million. Matt Ryan gets $30 million. Kirk Cousins at 3 gets paid $28 million. And right now they're the 6th seed. Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously not playing because of the injury, gets paid $27.5 million, but the 49ers don't have a shot. Matt Stafford gets paid $27 million, and Derek Carr gets paid $25 million. That's
How about
your top that? 6 highest paid NFL quarterbacks,
you know,
and only Kirkers, who got his offensive coordinator fired on Monday night.
You wonder what the Vikings would be. Would they be any different if they had not gotten Kirk Cousins and just kept Case Keenum?
So his numbers are better, but
I think they're the same team.
Except for win-loss.
They're the same team.
Yeah, right?
Right? I mean, I don't know. In other words, can you say that was a total mistake?
He has more touchdowns. He has fewer interceptions. He has a better completion percentage. A lot of the metrics look pretty good for Kirk, but they don't win games.
Well, they haven't yet. Yeah. But I think that if you would say that they're pretty much the same, let's say this. They go into the playoffs this year, same record. Let's say I haven't looked at their schedule, but they're 6-6-1.
Yeah, so they're exactly 500.
Yeah, who knows what they finish, but let's say it's the same with Case Keenum, the same with Kirk Cousins. Which team would you say has a better chance to just get hot and go on a run? It would be the team with Kirk Cousins, right?
I think so, even though
it looks like they look like they're about the same. Cousins gives you a higher ceiling, which is why they got him. I think we got maybe a little over our skis on the Vikings. Well, that's obvious because they're only a 500 team, but still, I would rather have Cousins than Keenum, is what I'm saying. But, you know, was that worth the money? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, but I guess the other idea that list shows you, is it ever worth the money to pay that much money to a quarterback when you look at the top 6 guys not right now looking like they're going to be in the playoffs?
You know, that is interesting. It's like Derek Carr, but see, you know, it's
Derek Carr is in a different, but I think he's the only AFC quarterback. Is that right? So, yeah, everybody else is NFC quarterback.
But that guy looked like he was worth that money at one point.
Yep. You don't know about Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't know.
Look, you have Matt Stafford. You got to lock up Matt Stafford. I mean, Detroit has just done a poor job of putting enough around him. Who else is on the list? Garoppolo.
Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan.
Well, Rodgers, of course, worth it. Ryan, of course, worth it.
Yeah.
Garoppolo. I think Stafford worth it.
Stafford and Derek Carr.
Yeah, the Garoppolo one is interesting, but everybody around the league loves him.
When you don't know with injuries. You have no idea how good this 49ers team would have been because he got injured so early.
So I do think it, I think it's worth it. I think the more interesting case studies are the ones like, Flacco kind of got a little lucky in that he got his deal right after winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Flacco's not that good, which is why
he's benched. You
know, everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson's not great. But if you go look at yards, what's the big one? Yards per attempt.
Yeah.
With quarterbacks, you know, the higher the number, the better the quarterback. Yards per attempt. Everybody says, Lamar Jackson can't throw. He can't throw. Well, their yards per attempt, Flacco and Jackson are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Flacco sucks, and that's why I mean, you know, nobody's saying Jackson's like the end all to be all, but you know, they're playing pretty well with him, and he's got they just like to run the ball. He can run the ball, so that's a better element.
You wonder how short the leash is, though, in Baltimore right now, because they're right now the sixth seed if it were to end today. They have
if the playoffs started today, they'd have a winnable game. They'd be on the road at Houston.
Mm-hmm. So you just wonder what'll happen there.
I think he gives them a little bit more dynamic quarterback back there, and that's good. Nobody's saying he's great, but he's better than Flacco.
He hasn't made the catastrophic mistake, right? I mean, they lost last week, but they're in the game. But he hasn't looked like a bonehead out there.
He can make plays.
He hasn't looked like Nathan Peterman, where you just go, "What are you doing?" Every other play.
Yeah. So I mean, it's in the NFL, and Suk and I have talked about this a ton. It's very interesting how you build your team. You either get your franchise quarterback and you pay him, mm-hmm. and you're Aaron Rodgers, and you hope you're Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, or you're Detroit with Matt Stafford, and you hope to put enough around them that you win a Super Bowl. Green Bay was able to do that once.
Yep.
Or you are a team that is going all in with a quarterback on a rookie deal, much like Seattle did surrounding their best team. And Suk even said this at the time.
The Rams are doing it right now.
That's right. Yep. And the Chiefs mm-hmm. as well. It's this idea that your best teams are going to be the ones when your quarterback that you think is going to be sensational and you're ultimately going to lock him up when he's on a rookie deal, that's when you're going to have the most money to put the best teams out there. Yep. So anybody that thought that Seattle was going to be able to not have to make tough decisions and keep everybody together after Russell Wilson got paid is crazy.
Yep.
That's not how it works. So Wentz. Now you've got Goff, you've got
Wentz.
They won the Super Bowl, even though it wasn't him.
Yeah, but still.
You've got Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I mean, there's a lot of Dak Prescott. You know, what are the Cowboys going to do with
Watson.
Him? Watson's another one. There's a lot of those teams, and that's interesting that to go back to your stat, Mitch Trubisky. These are the teams that we're seeing a lot of them in the playoff picture because of that.
But then you also have Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady.
Here's the question.
And Russell Wilson back with the Seahawks. That's actually amazing, the transformation the Seahawks have made.
What I think I would – personally, what I would do is you look at this playoff picture – and you do have the Rams with Goff and the Bears with Trubisky and Cowboys with Dak, Chiefs with Mahomes, Texans with Watson. You've got that lot. Mm-hmm. But you've also got the stalwarts, right?
Yeah. That's
who are you going to bet on? Are you going to bet on those guys, Watson, Goff, those guys? Or are you going to bet on the lot that is just the old standbys, man? Drew Brees is there again. Yep. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be there again. Tom Brady's there again.
Russell Wilson back.
Wilson's back. Philip Rivers is in there. You know, I'm more inclined to bet on the teams with those quarterbacks that have been there before.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me. And I think in the end, you're going to see some combination of Saints, Patriots, Steelers. I don't think the Seahawks are a Super Bowl team, but I think the Saints are going to win the NFC. And then I think you'll see either Rivers, Roethlisberger, or Brady in the Super Bowl against them.
But here's the thing. If you look at the NFC, the matchup for Russell Wilson in the wild card round is going to be against Trubisky, or it's going to be against Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So
winnable.
And if you win that first game, and now the two guys that are waiting for you, you hope that you get Goff versus getting Breeze, right? I mean, I would think that so the path could be.
Well, you know the Rams better than you know the Saints. You played them twice.
And you have that young quarterback. That's what I'm saying. Right. Jared Goff versus Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, Brees and Brady and Roethlisberger can just flat out rise up and beat you. And they've been there before.
Yep.
Not that Goff or Mahomes can't, but.
You just don't know.
There's
it's
a learning
unknown.
Curve. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Tidbit number two, and I'll do this one very quickly. But did you see the Rashad Penny run where he kind of takes it to the left, stops, runs backwards about 9 yards, and then ends up going and picking up 17 yards.
Yeah, looked like me before the knee injury.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the funny thing.
That's what people are saying, though.
ESPN put out the top 10 runs with the biggest differential between actual yardage ran and yards gained.
Love these.
Rashad Penny is the only guy on that list twice. So Curtis Samuels, wide receiver for the Panthers, ran 103.8 yards to gain 33 yards for a touchdown against the Buccaneers. Rashad Penny ran on that play. It's number two. He ran 81.9 yards to gain 17 on Monday against the Vikings.
Oh, my God.
Zeke Elliott against the Eagles ran 96 yards to get 30. Mitch Trubisky has one where he ran 71 yards to gain 8. Joe Mixon has a 56.9 yard run for a 3 yard loss. That one might be my favorite. And then Rashad Penny comes in at number six, ran 82.3 yards to gain 30. And that one was against the Packers. Spencer Ware makes the list. Tariq Cohen, Kareem Hunt, and Josh Allen ran 50 yards to gain 1 yard.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Yeah. I always think about that with quarterbacks too, on some of those throws those quarterbacks make.
Yeah. How much they travel.
Yeah, like those are going a lot further than it's not just a straight 30-yard throw. It's like he's throwing across his body and across the field, and like that is a like even I can just think of me out there like trying to just hit the guy in the flat. It's like, oh my God, he's way out there. And it's like a 5 yard out, but it's like
we marvel when they throw it 60 yards downfield, but when they're rolling the opposite way and throw it back across
their body.
Some of
those other throws, like those are way further and way harder than anyone gives them credit
for. Yeah, 15 yard out, your arm would fall off. Right. It would just go with the ball. All right, in the news is next, but first we throw it to the sporting news with Mike Lynch.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Isaac Ropp has taken off most of the week. This is my first show of the week, so we are overflowing with stories for In the News, so we will get right to it for you people because I know you demand it. I'm your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation, Luke Anderson. With me is noted newsman Isaac Ropp.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
And if we're saying thank you, we might as well say you're welcome. The news is official. Men with beards are more attractive. Yes.
We knew that.
Waiting for the applause break. It's official, though. The Journal of Evolutionary Biology, Michael.
By the way, you're listening to three guys who have beards.
Yes. And looking on is a weird, creepy guy that can't grow a beard in Preston Highfield.
Preston looks like he's 15.
Yeah.
Wait, Preston says he has a beard. It's not a beard.
No.
So, how old is Preston?
25.
So here's the way it works. The Journal of Evolutionary Biology went out and did a test. They took 8,500 women and had them rate men on their attractiveness based on how long their beards were. They had them grow their beards for clean shaven, grow their beards for 5 days, grow their beard for 10 days, and then a full 4 weeks. So 4 weeks is your full beard. That's, I believe, what all of us have in here.
Manly beards.
The number one most attractive was the 10-day unshaven. So that's like the heavy stubble. The second most attractive is the full beard, which is easier to maintain. I think people think the stubble is nice. It's very hard to maintain the actual stubble
look.
Yeah,
it's like a moment in time.
It is.
Like you can't just recreate that.
You can't trim it down to that level because then it looks like you just cut a short beard and that looks terrible.
That's right.
But if you can achieve it by waiting the 10 days, you have 9 days where you're not very attractive.
So they like the vacation beard.
The vacation beard is a great way to name it. Number three is light stubble. And number four is clean shaven on the list of most attractive faces.
Yeah, clean shaven is out.
Yep. Well, I don't know that it was ever more attractive than the look. It was just the social norm, right? That everybody kind of adhered to because everybody was doing it.
I tell you what, if you really pay attention to how many people have beards now.
We also live in Portland.
Men and
though.
Women.
Hey-o.
No, I mean, like, yeah, we do live in Portland. That's true. Perfect. But I try to pay attention to that when I'm traveling, too.
Yeah.
And it's a thing.
Can I tell you what I'm disappointed in with this study is you see a lot more guys with mustaches than you used to. Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And then Washington State fans.
Love a good mustache.
Yeah. And then, like, the goatee. or the big side. I just wonder how they would rank in this, but this was a study of only full beards versus clean shaven. That data I do not have in front of me. It's probably out there somewhere, but that's the info that I would like to get. My wife trying to talk me into going to the goatee.
Bad idea.
I've had it before.
Goatee's out.
What I did was I grew up my beard extra long, and then for a while I would trim it to longer where it frustrated her. I did that maybe 3-4 haircuts in a row where she's going, oh, it's too long, it's too long, it's too long. So then I cut it to the length that I like, and she goes, oh, it's so much better. That was my way of getting around the goatee. I think it worked. At least it's working for now. So I'll continue to do that, but hey, I'll show her this study.
Did you see this story? Please do it. Science. You see this guy out of Oregon City that got scammed from by the mortgage company?
No.
Or not by the mortgage company, but somebody posing as his mortgage company?
The mortgage company scam? No,
I didn't see this story?
Do tell.
Okay, so it's a family in Oregon City. Seems like a great family. And his name, the patriarch of the family.
Man, wife, 2.5 kids.
Aaron Cole. Yeah, they have 2 kids. And they live in Oregon City, and they had just turned a profit. Well, they just turned their equity over to put down on their on the new house. They had been in this house for 6 years. They had gained $130,000 in the home. They swung that around, put it down on their, or tried to put it down on their new home, their dream home that they were going to move into.
Sure.
Well, for those of you, and many of you have gone through this, of wiring a massive amount of money, whether it be, you know, through a transaction like this, or for whatever reason, to your bookie, I don't know. Wiring, he had to wire the money to get the funds to the I forget the name of the company. I think it's called, oh yeah, it's a WFG National Title Insurance Company. So he was using WFG, and right before, the day before, he is to talk to his title insurance company about getting the funds over to start the new transaction. He gets an email, and it was a scam.
Oh.
From them posing as WFG, and they showed on the news last night, I was watching, they showed the document, and I paused it, and I read through the document and looked for the red flags, one of which was major, and it was just signed Laura Benson or something.
Yeah.
No contact information, nothing. But it was a Beaverton address of the bank, and, you know, because you got to be very precise on those wires, particularly big money wires, like everything's got to be all I's dotted and T's crossed. And he went through with it, and he sent the money to that wire, to the info on that email, and it's gone.
Ugh.
They traced it overseas. It's out.
God.
Yep. And so he is out $123,000, and they have to be out of their house by, I think, next week, or maybe it's the week after. And so he has taken to the news because WFG will not, he's not getting his money back. They're like, look, man, you got scammed. Sorry.
Yeah.
It could have happened to any title company.
Well, but I wonder how they
got. It's not their fault.
Yeah, but you always wonder how somebody gets that information, how they know that he was doing a wire transfer, and where does that information come from?
That's what WFG is saying, is they hacked his email.
Okay.
It was not through their system. It was through his system that they found out, okay, here's what he's doing. Oh, we'll just disguise ourselves as them, and he'll wire us the money. Now, here's the question. Do you think you would get caught? You could get caught in something like that. Like, do you think you have? I mean, some of these scams these days, they look, you know, there are some that come across that you have to kind of double take and go, wait a minute. No, I'm pretty sure that's a scam.
I do not do much business through email. Kind of for this reason. I think a lot of people know that we had a hack of our system here at Entercom, about a year ago?
Wait, we did?
Maybe a year and a half ago.
What?
Yeah. We had a whole big thing, computer shutting down. You don't remember this?
I didn't know it was a hack.
Yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we got a virus, and people we got hacked. But
what happened? I was never notified.
I don't have all the details.
Somebody get my billions?
Well, yes.
Is that where my billions went?
We had a virus. Your billions were moved out of your accounts because somebody hacked it.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I was always weary before, but, you know, now when we see an email that looks suspicious, we get that kind of high alert, notice. Everybody's very weary of it. And I always look at them, and kind of like you said, you look for the signs that you wouldn't do it. But I very rarely acknowledge emails from people that I don't know.
If you've ever gone through one of those transactions, which I have, you get on the phone with them and you cross.
That's
all
what I mean.
I need
my guy talking to me on the phone before
right.
I make any change.
That's right.
And you look at it.
And here's the address, and here's the exact address, and let's go over that. Let's double check
that. Let's look at it 1,000 times.
And that's why it's like, man, this guy. I mean, I feel terrible for their family, but at the same time, I feel like that is not that hard to get right. That sounds terrible to say, but
you're terrible.
But here's the thing. There's some good that's going to, well, I wouldn't say it's good, but here's what's going on now. So he's not getting his money back. And by the way, people are saying WFG is Wells Fargo. I don't know.
Sure.
I guess that's Wells Fargo. Whatever.
Wells Fargo is not on a good roll.
Right. Yeah. But this wasn't their fault. I mean, it was his email that was scammed. Or hack.
Well, but the difference I think that people will point out, and I don't know that I have this belief, but I'm just kind of thinking through the way people would react to it. They go, $120,000 is everything to this guy, and it's nothing to Wells Fargo.
And by the way, it's not Wells Fargo. It's Williston Financial Group.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. First of all, the people who bought their home that they're having to leave, their original house, are going to rent it back to them until they can... figure something out. But also, their friends have started a GoFundMe. And what I'm guessing is they're going to be able to raise this money, at least $123,000 to be exact. And they're going to be able to, I don't know if they'll still get the house that they wanted, but they're going to get it back and be able to put it down on another home.
So it could be
a happy ending.
Yeah, for every terrible person, there's a lot of people that are very good people that will help.
Don't you think they'll get the money for that? I mean, they should. That's a good GoFundMe, right?
Yes, that is a good GoFundMe.
Let's all pitch in, and I mean, I'm not going to donate to you know what I mean. Like, there's enough people that are like, okay, let's help these guys out, and they'll get there.
It's a lot easier to get 120,000 people to put in, or 100,
that's
what
right.
is it, 12,000 people to put in $100 than it is to get, one person to put in $100.
Yeah, so he was smart. He was smart to go to the news, but. They didn't have any other money. That was their only money, so feel bad.
We have drama on the ski slopes, and do you know how much it would cost?
$7.
Which would cost more, feeding the whales or building a bridge? We will discover
both
of those.
Can I tell you one other thing?
Well, I don't think it can. Mike's very angry.
No, I know. Mike, just calm down. One other thing on those scams is always check their email, and their email has to match everybody else you've been dealing with at that title company. Would all have the same email addresses?
It's the suffix.
This one didn't. It was just .mail.
Yeah, don't do that.
Another red flag.
There you go. All right, so whales, bridges, and ski lifts next when In the News continues. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. We are midway through In the News. Luke Anderson filling in for Isaac Ropp. Isaac Ropp filling in for Jason Sukanik. Your dynamite duo through the holiday season. We'll be doing three more of these fantastic shows.
That's right.
After news of scams, let's move up to something on the mountain. You brought this story to my attention.
Did you see that yesterday?
Ooh, I did not see it yesterday. I saw it when you brought it to my attention. I will let you set it up if you like.
There on Mount Hood Meadows, we had the storm the other day.
Yeah.
Pretty windy. Pretty crazy. One of their lifts stopped, and everybody was on it, and so they had to rescue everyone from the chairlifts.
More than 150
swaying in the wind.
People.
Yeah, 150 folks. There was video of it. It looked pretty crazy, man.
Are you a skier?
I do ski, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't snowboard, I ski. But I don't go very often anymore. Like, I mean, seriously, if I get up there once a year, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
But
maybe we'll schedule a trip.
I do have a... no thanks. Okay. I do have the kind of the irrational fear of the... The lifts are... They're awful flimsy, man. You know? And you're always... Like, who doesn't get on a lift and you're riding up that thing and you're just kind of looking down going, man... Yeah, I mean, some of them have bars, hold you, but many of them don't.
I played the game many a time, so I used to go all the time. Like, when I graduated out of high school...
I heard you were a ski bum.
A little bit, yeah. So I had a season pass for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years after I graduated from high school. But one spring, I had a buddy that worked as a lifty. at Mount Hood Meadows, and he gave me a call. I was doing freelance stop-motion animation at the time, and I just finished a job, and he called me up and goes, hey, if you don't have anything to do, we need another guy just to fill in for the spring. You'll get a free season pass for the rest of the year. You can ski all you want, whatever. So I went up there and worked the lifts, and they show you the videos of what can go wrong if you fail to recognize the warning signs of, like, the 7 fail-safes that are built in for a ski lift. So I used to always play the game where you'd ride up the lift, you go, if I was going to fall off, where would I want to fall off? But I never really had that irrational fear. But after watching what happens in what they call a lift rollback, and if anybody gets a chance to see the training videos for lift operators, it's awesome. So imagine if you're on the upward side of the lift, right? There's 150 people that were stuck on the lift here. I don't know if it was yesterday, day before, whatever it was. So there's 150 people on there trying to figure out how much weight that is that's all on one side
right.
of the lift, and it's going up a hill, so obviously gravity is pulling down on those 150 people. So what they do for these training videos is they take away all the safety precautions, the things that slow down the giant pulley from actually stopping the people from rolling backwards, and they did it just with like bags of cement or whatever. And so
The people, you mean?
Yeah. So if you're the first person that's on the lift, you get on the lift, you go up, you know, whatever, however, what the distance is, 30 feet between the other lift, you'll roll back slowly and you'll go around the pulley, and you might get a little sway backwards where you'll feel uncomfortable for a second, but the speed will build, and the next person will sway backwards and they'll get close to falling off. 3, 4, 5, 6 chairs go back, and all of a sudden they're tilting up backwards far enough that people are falling straight off. So now, once people start falling off, that weight differential continues to grow and the speed grows until those things are whipping around to the point where the chairs are actually breaking off.
Right.
And they reported finding cement bags, the weight of people, 150 pounds or so, like a quarter of a mile away from the lift.
You're a kid.
And you have the arms just snapping off as they go around. And eventually what will happen is enough will break that the pulley will get jammed with broken materials. But you'll be tearing back as you go. And the momentum will keep all of the people on the lifts as they're going backwards. Like if you're in a car, even though you're facing the wrong way, you're moving at the same speed as a chair.
Whoa.
And so until you hit that corner, it just launches and propels people. And then not to mention the friction that you get from the speed of the pulley going, and then you have potential for fires. So the people that are still on the lift, it starts burning. There's, a dozen people that stay on the lift. So once it finishes rolling one way, you're stuck.
That sounds like death and destruction.
Cables break. It's awesome.
The other thing about those is,
I don't know if you can find those videos on YouTube, but I imagine you have to be able to.
I've seen a few where they get stacked up and it gets going pretty fast and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But the other thing about the lifts, I've always thought, is like it's nothing but stoners. I mean, no offense, but it's it is. Like, it's young people that are just up there to get a free season pass, and they're the ones like putting your life in their hands. It's always weird to me.
Well, and not only are they stoners that are working up there, they're also guys that they do it without really any care. So a lot of the guys that I worked with, this was one of the culture things that I always think is cool. The lift operators are nomads, too. They're guys that move to Hood River and live there for the winter. And a lot of them are from New Zealand or Australia, and then they go back for their winter. So they'll go back to New Zealand for winter, and then obviously the seasons are different. So they'll actually travel back and forth. And these guys, that's all they do is operate lifts, and they do it with no concern whatsoever.
Yeah, there is one on YouTube. The first one that popped up is describing exactly like you were... You were saying, and these people are being launched.
It's insane.
It's from Georgia, east, not U.S. Georgia, but Eastern Europe, yep. Georgia. Holy crap!
It's terrifying.
Bodies
isn't it?
Everywhere.
Yeah, and can you imagine being launched a quarter of a mile into the frozen wilderness around a ski lift,
dude?
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I will pass on that. The last tidbit of news, and we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the state of Washington released their budgets for 2019-2020. They are allocating $1.1 billion to help feed the starving orcas. I don't think anybody would argue with that. Yeah, take care of the orcas. To help with the new...
I'm pro-orca.
The new bridge crossing between Vancouver and Portland, $17.5 million.
Well, isn't that because they're trying to stick it to Oregon?
I think that's exactly the
case. Bastards. Aren't you a Washingtonian?
Yes, I am. born and raised Washingtonian. It is such a hollow gesture, and I just noticed the disparity in those two headlines, and I thought it was worth
mentioning. Well, I did read a story that they were going to get together and talk again about the Interstate Bridge. So
they've got some money dog-eared for it, and if Oregon's ready to come to the table and foot the bill, and TriMet's going to put in their money to make sure the light rail or whatever and make it all harmony, it seems like a very hollow gesture to me. So if you're waiting for that bridge to be built,
you know what?
Keep waiting.
That'd be a good documentary.
There's been
a lot of drama going on with that. If somebody knows the real story behind all that, it's not over, but I think ultimately something will get done, don't you?
It has to. The expiration date for that bridge is long since passed.
Right.
I mean, they only make bridges to last a certain amount of time, and they've been doing stopgaps for a decade or more, I think.
I mean, if somebody's been documenting that drama the whole time, that'd make for a good movie.
I would love to know the inside stories behind that for sure. I agree.
It's your fault.
Oh, that's fair enough. It's also my fault that we haven't left to get you ready for the Hot 5 at 5 yet.
Oh.
So accept my apologies, but we'll get right to it, and we will do it next when we start the 5 o'clock hour.
The Mariner guy?
Okay, it's not all my fault.
What's his name? The GM.
DePoto. Jerry DePoto.
Pulled off a trade from a hospital bed today.
That's right.
That dude's amazing.
And that will be in the Hot 5 at 5, as well as breaking NBA, NFL, and college football? I don't know. We got other stuff. Hot 5 at 5 is next. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.